I'm finding that I'm not having too much trouble making conversations with people. I don't know if you have the same problem. And I wonder if I'm becoming a better conversationalist, or if perhaps the number of topics for conversation are just overwhelming. There's so much to talk about. It's almost spilling out that it's hard to keep up. Keep in touch, or just to have a thought on every topic that's going on. The news seems to come up with something new every day. There's a new cycle and there's something new rolling down the hill. You turn it on and you wonder what catastrophe could be happening today. What new trouble is going to meet me today? And perhaps the worst part is that you might not know what to say to all these different topics. Or you don't know which is the most important, the most relevant, the issue that should be addressed right now. And perhaps you're not even sure how we as Christians should react, how we should respond, or deal with this or that thing that's going on. And so maybe you as Christians are hoping that I might have something to say, that I might speak or address one or multiple of the things going on to give an answer to, well, what is most relevant for us today? Which headline should I focus on? What piece of news should I have my undivided attention? What's relevant for us today that I can get through, well, just the next week, I guess? And I was thinking about those things. Well, I was thinking about them all week. What I can say, what should I say, what hurts need to be addressed. And then upon seeing the readings for today, I couldn't help but wonder, well, these all aren't relevant at all. What could I possibly say about these things to make them relevant to you? How does the call of Samuel, that was kind of this weird judgment on Eli, how does the story about the disciples being called, and for Paul, how does sex have anything to do with so much strife and division that were going on? And so I thought, well, what does the chosen readings have to say that's maybe different? And perhaps we're thinking about this all wrong. And maybe I shouldn't address the headlines. Maybe I shouldn't shoehorn some other text that might be more appropriate to the sermon and what's going on around us. So I decided to dive in and, I guess in a way, in my pious understanding, let God guide the conversation. And then see what he thinks is relevant. And so in my zeal to do the opposite thing, I decided to go to Paul. And Paul is perhaps the most absurdly off-topic to the surrounding circumstances, because the lesson we read from Paul certainly undermines our expectations among all things we could talk about. For he is talking about sex. Well, sort of. He's not just having sex in mind, but he's addressing a specific concern in the Corinthian church that is going on, and that's what he's writing about. But he does have a lot to say, and more importantly, what it means to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so right now, I'm going to walk us through this text, and it'll take a couple minutes. But hold on, because it's not going to address anything you have been thinking about this last week. That's why I want to ask you to hold on to this, because it will have something to say when we get later in our sermon here. Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. And in our section, he is tackling an issue with a member of the congregation. There's someone in the congregation that is engaging in sexual immorality, and it seems that these Corinthians have taken the freedom of the gospel to mean freedom from conventional ways of living and freedom from the law of God to do what seems right to each person. The concern that Paul is writing to is a specific type of sexual immorality occurring in the congregation. But he takes it to expand on something further, and that's where our section begins. He takes the common phrase, I guess, that's been going around in the Church of Corinth, all things are lawful for me. A true phrase that Paul's response to is, but all things are helpful. And again, he repeats the phrase, all things are lawful for me. And then Paul asserts again, but I will be dominated by nothing. I won't let anything enslave me. And it's this line of thinking that he explains and makes real for the Church of Corinth, the new reality of the gospel message. The body is not meant for such things as sexual immorality, but the body is meant for the Lord and the Lord for the body. He emphasized this by pointing to the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead with his body. And so these Christians in Corinth, they too will also be raised with their body. And so just think about it. Paul is saying, hey, Corinthians, you are what your body is. Your body is not merely a shell for your soul to animate, but your body will be in the resurrection. Yes, the body you are looking at, because your body is who you are. And then Paul points out why this is important to realize. For their bodies are members of Christ. So is it good that members of Christ become a part of the members of one who's sexually immoral? Well, of course not. Because if your body is joined with someone like a prostitute, as Paul puts it, then you're as if a prostitute, because when two are gathered, when two are brought together, they become one flesh. And this is where he might sound confusing for us. Because when he says that when your body is joined to the Lord, you might expect him to say you become one flesh. But instead he says you become one spirit with him. But it shouldn't be terribly confusing, because all Paul is saying is that your body and your spirit are not so different than you might expect. Essentially saying, Church of Corinth, your true self is not just your spirit, but your true self is your body as well. The people of the Church of Corinth are their bodies and their souls. They both matter. And what may sound as a rebuke to them is quite the opposite for Paul, because he wants to encourage them, flee from sexual immorality, for it's not good for you. It will lead to the destruction of both your body and your soul. It will lead to the destruction of you. So flee from these things, because your body is now a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body has purpose, because your body is not your own, but was bought for an expensive price, the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So even in your body, glorify Christ. And that's how Paul writes this section to the people of Corinthians. And this is what Paul finds most relevant for the church in Corinth. And you all have so many things going through your head right now. The news cycles, they change by the hour. You're not sure what you ought to be paying attention to. What's important to keep in mind? What matters to me? And now you come here to church, perhaps hoping to hear something that gives you a different answer. Perhaps hearing some relevance to the situation, but all you get is another piece to add to the conversation. And truthfully, you're not sure what is exactly relevant for you. There's not a lot I can do to silence the chatter. And I can't keep up with the fire hose of information. And there's no way I can take away the reality that you face. And I'm not sure how I can tell you that what I have to say is more relevant for you. All I can do is give you my word. Well, it's not my word. It's the Lord's word. And one of the biggest complaints of the church, and it's a worthy complaint we get, but the church is slow on the uptake, it seems, and sometimes never seems to respond in a timely manner. And those are fair concerns. But sometimes there's a problem with always being relevant. To be relevant all the time and respond to everyone's concern misses the point of what is actually going on in the bigger picture. God does not need to cater to or make himself relevant to anyone. For God knows exactly what we need. Who knows what is most relevant better than God? So maybe our concerns are misplaced today. And I think it's most obviously misplaced because the news cycles, the issues going on, the division, and even COVID, they're not actually as relevant as we might think. I mean, sure, we all been impacted to some of these things, no doubt. But really, for my money, we don't need to know, learn, or find out how all these growing amounts of information are relevant for me. Why? Because at the end of the day, there is nothing you can really do about it. There's absolutely nothing you can do that will actually change what's going on. And as far as I can tell, the reason I want answers to relevant questions is because I want to know what I can do about it. But you and me waste our time over things that we have zero control over. I know there are lies being spread. I know misinformation being promulgated. I know there are conspiracies that have what certain level of validity. I know that you feel mistreated and maybe even disappointed. But I also know that even in the midst of those troubling things, there are true things being told. The correct information getting out, conspiracies debunked. And even though you feel mistreated or disappointed, I know that you are still being treated and taken care of. I know there's a lot to sort. But with all that banging around in our head, what are you actually going to do about all those headlines? With this upcoming news cycle, what can you actually do about it? I guess you could just go against what others say. You could even oppose it, but then you have to ask yourself, is it really worth it? Are you sure you're accomplishing much, and what could you possibly be risking? Can you be sure that you have all the relevant information, or maybe, just maybe, all your concerns are misplaced? I can't help but be impacted by Paul's words at the beginning. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved, dominated by anything. You see, while Paul is saying something focused on something more personal and intimate and private like sex, Paul is saying that being made right before God goes so much deeper than just being set free from the burden of the law. You are transformed into a different kind of person. One who does not act on passions and desires, nor one who invests time and effort in things outside of your control. For all things are not helpful, and for you as members of the body of Christ, you will not be dominated by anything or anyone. Maybe the constant engagement in this political crisis, three time zones away, or pointing out flawed systems, or promoting the conspiracy is not altogether helpful for us. Maybe these things start dominating our life to the point where it consumes our thoughts, consumes our conversations, and the way we treat our relationships. Maybe talking about this week's headline is not all that relevant for us. God's word directs our attention somewhere else. And it is to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. For God does not need to give us answers and reactions to this headline. For God has that all under His control. Instead, He brings you in as a member of the body of Christ. He makes you relevant to the world. Paul's words are not meant to be a rebuke or an admonishment. Instead, they're supposed to be words of encouragement. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a member of the body of Christ. You are God's own. You are God's own with purpose, a good purpose. What harm can be done to your body if you invest time, effort, money, and work into the things God has already given you to take care of? Donald, Mike, Joe, Kamala, if I'm saying that right, they're not going to take care of the people in your lives, because that's why you're there. Whatever is right in front of us is far more important and far more relevant than what is going on online. Because the responsibilities before you are in your control, and you can do much more good about them than anyone else. Maybe we should ask ourselves, how is my neighbor doing today? You have families, your friends, you have your church, you have people that you have responsibility for going through a lot of the same frustrations, concerns, and they have the same anxieties that you and I do. Just maybe they need someone truly relevant in their life. Maybe they could use time to share a memory with an old friend. Maybe they could use someone to talk with about what really matters, like family, the Christian life, or to be in prayer with someone. Perhaps in our restricted and our protective guidelines going on, you might be comfortable to take some reasonable risks and surprise your kids with a visit. Or you might see how that one person who's been away from their church family is doing. Who needs your prayers? Who needs the skills you have at your disposal? Maybe someone in your life needs to hear the loving grace of God in Jesus Christ. It needs to be told that they are God's own, that they're forgiven, that they're bought with a price, to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. And just maybe, someone who's been far off for so long is just about ready to hear God's word anew for the first time. I don't know what all your responsibilities and vocations are or what deserves more attention than the other, but I can say they are far more relevant than what the Seattle Times has to say. For you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you are brought into God's recreating story to live as one of God's creatures, to usher in the new creation reality by living out God's truth in your life, one transformed and made his own in Jesus Christ. Your conversations, your relationships, your responsibilities don't all revolve around the headlines. They don't revolve around the tweets, even the conspiracies and tensions going on in the world. Sure, give them a look, see them so you're not completely lost. But what you have right in front of you needs your undivided attention. You are God's own. And Jesus Christ has made you relevant right where you are. Live out the truth of God in the way you conduct yourselves. Show love even in the smallest areas of your life. It seems to me that God is even concerned about something so small and private as our personal lives. How more relevant can you get? In Christ. Amen.